from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Monday afternoon, Labor Day, live from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you, 404-726-0929. We're talking about the sort of Braves and how concerned you are that they're even going to make the playoffs as they head home for a six-game homestand beginning tomorrow against the Colorado Rockies and then the Toronto Blue Jays. 25 games to go, 7 games out in the East. That's over. Goodbye. And 1 game ahead of the MASS, mess, in the race for the wild card. 3 up on the Cubs, and the Cubs are blistering hot. So this is going to be a fist fight for the sort of Braves down the stretch run. NFL is underway this week. We have the opening game between the Chiefs and the Ravens Thursday night. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore Ravens opening game of the NFL. There's a Friday night game like halfway across the planet in São Paulo, Brazil. That'll be the Packers and Eagles. I don't envy the two teams having to do that. It's a long way away. It's a 12-hour flight from Green Bay. 12 hours from Green Bay. I mean, we're watching like 5 movies to get there. I mean, oh, my God. And then, of course, the Falcons and the Steelers opening game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. with the Wade Ford tailgate show, Harper LaBelle, Joe Patrick, and myself. And that will lead you to Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson and the network pregame. And, of course, Wes and Dave on the call from Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a year where I think we have a lot of, you know, high hopes, expectations. It's exciting. We've sold out season tickets, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I know the national media doesn't think much of us, and I don't give a damn what they think, but I do like to point it out only because I think it's hilarious because I'm keeping receipts. I am keeping receipts. Because I want to go back at the end of the year just so I can go, nee, nee, nee. Yeah, I want to be that dude. Are you a 12-year-old? Yes. Yes, I am. How do you feel about the Falcons? Checking your pulse. You excited? It's game week. You nervous? You cautious? How are you feeling about the Falcons going into this opener and for the season at large? And do you think the NFL is wide open, or is the NFL going to be, it's the best teams, it's just going to be those guys again? Or is it going to be kind of a year where just about anything could happen? I'm just kind of curious. Because I think it's one of those years where just about anything can happen. And the reason I say that is I look at the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers, for example, in the NFC, and say, okay, those are the two best teams on paper in the NFC. But do I think that they're demonstrably better than, say, the Eagles or the Packers or the Falcons? My answer is no. I think the Falcons are in that mix. Do I think that the Dolphins can be in the mix? Yes. Do I think about I don't know about the Jets. I have no idea. I hear all sorts of weird stuff. I mean, they got Aaron Rodgers. They got a nice team. Their defense is really good. Look, they've had a chance to build up that roster. The Jets could actually be a surprise team. And yet, every time I do, I'm reading about Robert Saleh having to put out a fire in his locker room. He's got to have, you know, he's got to have like those, the things that they advertise on television where you take the little towel and you throw it over the pan. He's got to have those like stacked everywhere because it's always a fire. Oh my God. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Ron. He joins John. Hey, Ron, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, John. I want to talk about the Braves and Snicker. Snick is blowing these games. Last night, we had the bases loaded. And I don't understand. We don't have the same players because we got a lot of injuries. So you got to change the magnitude of the game. Arcier was up in the count. And he could have either squeezed the run in or he could have told him, this guy's not giving you anything in the strike zone, so why are you swinging at bad pitches? This game should have never went into extra innings.
How would he have told him that, Ron?
You said what, John?
How would he have told him that? Was he going to walk out to the batter's box and say, hey, do you notice? I mean, how would he have told him that?
No, he's not going to tell him that, but he's a professional.
You just said he's going to tell him that.
No,
well, that's
an
Arcia problem, not a Snicker. Hang on. That's not a Snicker problem. That's an Arcia problem, right?
Okay. Well, Snicker could have bun it or squeezed the run in.
He wasn't going to squeeze. Ron, if he squeezes and there's an out at home plate, you're screaming at me, what the hell's Snicker doing squeezing, right?
I'm not, because Arcia's chance of driving that run in is slim to none. I mean, he's a lucky day Martin hitter. He's swinging at bad pitches.
I agree.
Every time we got a runner on base, we never tried to steal like the Philadelphia Phillies did. They played for small ball. And why were you running the same pitch out there to face the same hitter that already got a hit off of him? Don't put him in that same situation. You use your bullpen wrong. You should have had Joe Menendez or some other pitcher, Iglesias, to come in and face Costangelo. Not the same pitcher he had the previous night. He's blowing these games. There's no way we can win the division now.
But all right, but Ron, are you done? Ron, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ron. 404-726-0929. Hope you got something out of that. Brian Snicker has this team in the playoffs as of right now with 25 games to go. This team. Okay? This team. He has them in the playoffs and 11 games over 500 with 25 to go. This team. Let's go to Ken. Hey, Ken, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. I'll touch on the Braves real quick. I think Snicker's done a hell of a job, John, for what we've had to work with. However, some of his managerial decisions are questionable at best. But that's going to happen. It's a long season. It's 162 games. So every decision he makes is not going to be perfect. But just as long as he makes the right decisions when it really, really counts in the postseason, that's when everything's magnified.
He can't swing the bat when he goes up there, okay? I can't emphasize enough. You send Orlando Arcia, who you're paying millions of dollars, who made the All-Star team as a shortstop last year, and you send him to the plate in a clutch position, and you say, if you're the manager, you're saying, dude, earn your money, hit the ball. And if he doesn't do that, what are you supposed to do? How did you screw up exactly?
It's on the players. It's on the players.
Yeah, of course it is.
Again, I want to talk about this matchup on Sunday, Atlanta-Pittsburgh. Now, over the years, Pittsburgh got outnumbered, man. They've been having the Falcons numbers.
I don't care about over the years. That doesn't matter.
We have a brand new coach.
It doesn't matter. That means nothing to me, okay? I don't care about history.
I know, John. Okay? I know. But I said that to say this. By Arthur Smith, being the OC over there, formerly the Falcons head coach, do we gain an advantage knowing what he likes to do, the type of plays he likes to run? We don't.
No. There's no real advantage or disadvantage to that. It's just about, again, players making plays here. You know, we know what Russ Wilson – it's not about Arthur Smith. He doesn't have the ball in his hands. Russ Wilson has the ball in his hands, okay? It's about what Russ Wilson and Darnell Washington and George Pickens do. And, you know, the offensive line, which has been kind of patchwork for the Steelers, it's about, you know, being able to put pressure on Russ Wilson and then offensively being able to, you know, establish a run game against a very good defensive side of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We can make all the calls we want to call. We make all the, you know, misdirect. What's he going to suddenly come out and do we're going to have Justin Fields, you know, in the tail of the eye, and Russ is going to pitch it to him. Who knows? Maybe we'll see some new looks. This is just about players making plays. I mean, I'm not really overly concerned about what Arthur Smith does as offense coordinator. I really don't think it has much to do about this, you know, unless he decides on third down and 17 to run the football in a critical point in the game. He would go, what the hell are you doing there, Arthur? But no, I don't think that makes much a difference to anything. Not to me.
Okay. Well, the reason I brought it up, because this is a critical game for the Falcons. They must win this football game on Sunday, John.
I don't think it's critical at all.
Coming up the next two games.
I just don't think it's critical at all. How is it critical?
You can go 0-3. That's why it's critical.
Wait a second. How about you take it one game at a time? You lose this game, you can still go 2-1, correct?
That's correct. But you got Philly and
Kansas
City.
Okay, I just want to check. It's not critical. It's not a conference game, right? It's as least critical. Almost the only way this could be less critical is if the game were at Pittsburgh. A non-conference game, a non-division, non-conference game on the road is the least consequential game you can play in the NFL. Right? So I don't put too much into this, guys. I don't think guys, I love all of you. You're already going way too far. Okay? Ken, I think you're going way too far. Let's just, Ken, talk to me. Is Ken still there? Did he already get mad at me and leave? He might have got mad at me and left. And I understand what Ken's saying. I can't see this being, to me, look at the first five games. You tell me what a critical game is. Is Tampa at home a critical game? Yes. Swampers at home, is that a critical game? Yes. Those are critical games. You have to win your division games, and you have to win your division games at home. The most important games you play on your schedule are your home division games. Those are the most consequential games because they count three times. They count as a division game, as a conference game, right, and as a tiebreaker, and as a home game. The only reason this game's important against Pittsburgh is because you want to have a winning record at home. And it's important because you want to get off on a good start because you do have Philadelphia and Kansas City coming up. But if you're scared, buy a dog. I'm not scared of Philadelphia. I'm not even scared of Kansas City. If I think they go to Philadelphia and give the Eagles fits, because you have to have confidence and faith in your own team here. But the Falcons of Pittsburgh, this is probably going to come down to a three-point game. At the end of the game, who makes a play? So if Pittsburgh makes a play at the end of the game, or they get a call and suddenly something happens and they win 24-21, what, is the season over? No, it'll be disappointing. Sure, yes, it will be disappointing. We'll be gnashing teeth about missed opportunities, but it's not critical. However, when you're playing five of your first six division games in the first 11 weeks of the year, you have to go 4-1 in those division games because you can't make them up after the bye. Because after the bye, you only have one division game, okay? And that's the very last game of the year against the Carolina Panthers. You've got to win your division games first. Then you have to win your conference game second. See, of those first three games, the most important game is the game two against Philadelphia. We all understand that, right? That's the most important game. It's not Pittsburgh. It's not Kansas City. It's Philadelphia. Why? Conference game. Okay? And on the road, if you could steal that Philadelphia, you could go 1-2. If you could go 1-2 in the first three games, if they were to go 1-2, which game would you want? You want to win the Philadelphia game because it's a conference game. Okay? That's the game you really want to win. And people are like, yeah, but if we lose to Pittsburgh, oh, my God, we're going to go to Philadelphia and lose 73-2. What are you talking about? Oh, my God. Ay, ay, ay. The Falcons are going to be favored in 13-14 games this year. Okay? They're a very good football team. A little bit of faith, a little bit of confidence. Not asking you to drink Kool-Aid all the way through. I'm just saying, just a little bit of faith, a little bit of confidence. I think this is a good football team. I understand. Look, we've been burned as Falcons fans. Lord knows I have. You know, God love you, Ken, and God love all us Falcons fans. This is I'm celebrating my 50 years as a Falcons fan this year for me. 50. 1975, Steve Barkowski shows up, and hey, you know, this is my 50th year as being a Falcons fan. You know how many Super Bowl titles? Yeah, you know. Seen him get to the big show twice. Should have won it once. But, yeah, I mean, 50 years. So you don't have to walk me through this, okay? I get it. I can just tell you what I'm seeing right now. And I'm seeing that this is the beginning of not only a pretty good team, but a beginning of an era that I think is going to be pretty good.
That's why you drafted Michael Penix, because you're not thinking about it being a 2-year. Oh my God, we got to win. Our window's 2 years.
No, no, their window's not 2 years. Their window's like 7, 8.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio, night time of the game. I appreciate all the people that have jumped into the program here. And Ken, and I guess we sort of just disagree. I don't think the Pittsburgh game is critical. Eric, do you think it's critical? I mean, I can understand where Ken is coming from. I don't see it the same way. That's all.
No, it's critical. It's one of 17, so it's not critical. Just like we were saying during the break. That 0-1 just leaves a sour taste in your mouth. No one wants to taste it. We want to taste strawberries and peaches and cream, and that's 1-0.
No, I get that. I mean, that part of it I totally get. Look, I want to win every I'm with Ken on that. I don't want to have a sour taste on Monday after the Steelers game. I want to have good, we're off and running, here we go. I want to see all this get on the same page, but I also am not going to put too much on them here in terms of this. I'm pretty confident going into the Steelers game. I have a good feeling about this team. Yes, I've been burned as a Falcons fan, so I should probably check myself. I get all that, and yeah, you all know where we're coming from. Actually, Ken and I are probably on the same page in the regards that we as Falcons fans, we have so deserved, you know, having this franchise, not this season, not this team, this franchise finally get to a place where they're going to be consistently good, because we've had these spurts, right? Where we had, you know, the 1980, okay? You had the Bartkowski spurt, you had the Chandler spurt, you had the Vic spurt, you had a couple of different spurts with Matt Ryan, you know, where you made NFC title games or you made Super Bowls and you had a chance to be something. And there have been, you know, 10 to 12 really good seasons and the 50 years that I've been there. And there have been, you know, another 10 to 12 that were so-so. And then there have been 20 to 25 that have been... Yeah, I know. I lived them. I'm with you. So... I understand all this. 404-726-0929. I just happen to be, when I was saying check your pulse, I happen to be really excited. I'm probably overly optimistic about the Falcons, but I'm really excited to see what this team is going to be. Now, granted, things have to happen. Numero uno, this is why I was so, you know, kind of, a little perplexed about some of the chatter about the lack of playing time, about shutting down Michael Penix, is that what's the number one goal here? The number one goal is you want to get to like that bye week in week 11, okay, in week 12, pardon me. You played 11 games. You want to be north of 500. You want to be north of 500, okay? You want to be, when you get to your bye week, you want to be in front of 500 in both the division and on the year. If you are the last and you're healthy, 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 and you're healthy, then the rest of the season shapes up really nicely for the Atlanta Falcons. Let's not forget, let's go back 2016 to the Super Bowl year. I know, you don't want to talk about it, but this, we all understand how good they were playing up until the third quarter with 3 minutes to go in the game. That team was 7-5. They had just lost to Eric Berry in the Eric Berry game at Mercedes-Benz. Remember that? Everybody remember that? Okay. They had lost to Eric Berry, right? It was actually Georgia Dome. They had lost to Eric Berry in that game where Eric Berry took the two-point thing back, right? And they lost to the Chiefs. They were 7-5. And we were sitting around the radio going, all right, you know, you and I were going, okay, well, what's this all about? Then that team just took off. And they hit some gear. And they, until 3 minutes ago in the third quarter, they were untouchable as the best team in the NFL. That's why I'm not overly concerned about the beginning of the year. The two most important games you're playing in week five are against the Swampers and the Buccaneers. These first three games are like kind of test games. If you can kind of get out of them 1-2, I'm going to be okay. That's why I'm not really super worried about the first three games. Everybody, oh my God, we're going to be 0-3. Why would we be 0-3? We may be 0-3, but I think there's an assumption that, what, you automatically assume that the you understand that on paper, because that's all we can talk about right now, the Falcons and the Steelers, the Falcons are the better team, and they're at home. You understand that the Falcons are the better team, right? Oh, there's Steelers, right? No, yes, they are. It's the reason the Falcons are favored to win the game. When the Falcons go to Philadelphia, do you think the Philadelphia Eagles are that much better than the Falcons? Because I don't. And by the way, Pat Mahomes' company, they got to come here. Okay, they got to come to our house. And I think it's about time we make coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and not we, not you and me, but the Falcons made coming to Mercedes-Benz Stadium something that you don't really want to do so much. Because where do you not want to play in the if you're in the NFL? All right, Eric Slaughter, answer me a question. Give me three stadiums that if you're in the NFL, you don't want to play in.
Seattle, whatever it's called now, Quest Field, wherever they used to call it. The 12th man's really loud. It's a really long trip.
You know, that's funny because unless I'm wrong, the last couple of times the Falcons have been there, they've won.
Well, I'm not saying you didn't say that we won. I'm saying that's one of the best home field advantages.
I know. I just didn't have mine on the list, but okay, I got you. All right, so fine. Yeah, all right, go on.
Arrowhead. Arrowhead's really loud. Kansas City almost never loses at home.
Yep.
Okay. And Philly, once again, very, 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 very tough crowd. Philly very, very loses at home. Then, you know, just very tough environment.
Yeah. No, I think those are all legit. I would probably put Lambeau over Seattle, but yeah, okay. I mean, I would have had Philadelphia and Kansas City and Lambeau. That's fine. I mean, but the point is that there are certain places. Now, granted, the teams are good. See, this is one of the things that people forget. This is my point. You can have the greatest home field advantage in the world, and I can prove that, but if your team's not very good, guess what? You can go in and win. And I can prove that because I know for a fact my college, okay? As you know, I went to the University of Nebraska. The Huskers have sold out. It'll be 398 straight sellouts. They sold out every game since 1962. And when Colorado comes in on Saturday night, it's going to be bonkers. And it'll be their 398th consecutive sellout. Every game since 1962. For 63 years, they've sold out every game. It's 90,000 fans. The way the stadium is constructed, it's super loud. It's as loud as, you know, Jordan Hare. It's as loud as Bryant Denny. It's as loud as Athens. It's a loud stadium, okay? It's as loud as Williams-Brice. It's a loud stadium, like all the stadiums are in the South. It's the same thing. Why have that? Is it really scary right now? No, why? Because the team hasn't been very good. But it's sold out every week. It's just not a tough – why is it not a tough place to play suddenly? Oh, you mean because the team isn't that good? Yeah, it's about how good the team is. See, when you talk about Kansas City, when you talk about Philadelphia, you're talking about what? Oh, they're good teams. Nobody says, you know, for example, that it's tough to play at Giants Stadium. But when the Giants are good, it's really hard to play at Giants Stadium because it can get loud because the Giants are good. So the team has to lead. My point is the team has to lead the crowd. I will be immensely disappointed if that crowd of 75,000, 76,000 on Sunday isn't close to 60,000 Falcons fans. You cannot let those people take over your stadium. And you can't let them. If there's 15,000, if there's more than 20,000 Steelers fans there, that's going to be a problem. Don't sell your damn tickets. You've got to also do your part here. All right? And your part is you got to help them and they got to help you. And we got to start making Mercedes-Benz Stadium a home field advantage for the Atlanta Falcons. As it was at a time, let's not forget that it was for Atlanta United. It's not no more. Why? Because the team is in his. Okay. Right? Was a time a few years back when we had guys that we called by one name and some other dude that was doing some mania thing and a Nagby kind of guy. It was a time where it was a place that nobody wanted to play in Major League Soccer. It was by far the most difficult. Why? Because it was 70,000 people and nuts. And, oh, by the way, the team happened to be great. So the two kind of go hand in hand. But it's time that the Atlanta Falcons do something they've never been able to do at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is make Mercedes-Benz Stadium a home field advantage. Now, that's up to them. But it's also partly up to you, too. Don't sell your tickets. Okay? When I'm at the tailgate on Sunday morning, I don't want to be surrounded by people waving. Eric, what the hell do they call those hanky things they got? The
horrible towel. Fans wear. Oh, that stupid thing. Crybaby towel.
And I said, and I don't think the Falcons are going to do this, which is too bad, because the marketing department of the Falcons could have gone out. You sell it to like some, you know, I don't know, you sell it to Georgia Power, or you sell it to, you know, some health, I don't know, you sell it to somebody. Good Humor, I have no idea. You sell it so that they stamp it so that you can get it, you know, all right, and hand out and make it like a college game, right? Because, see, down here in the South, what is football? It's college football, right? I mean, it's college football. So you hand out 65,000 red pom-poms to drown out the yellow, you know, the yellow terrible towels. And the shot by in the stadium then with the TV is 65. It looks like an Auburn or Georgia or Alabama game. It looks like a game in the South with all the pom-poms going. And they're going to go, well, it looks like a college game. Yeah, we want that kind of environment. We want that kind of home field advantage, finally, for us, because we've never had it. Atlanta's a late-arriving crowd. Don't be a late-arriving crowd. Dude, if you're one of the people standing out in the smooth lot at game time wandering into the stadium, you're part of the problem. Get your butt into the seat. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Get your butt into the seat. Don't be wandering in middle of the first quarter. This isn't a party. This is business, okay? It's business. We got business to do. Hey, you want a party, you take your act and go somewhere else, but not at the stadium. Uh-uh. It's business, all right? So you got to do a part two. That's all I'm saying. I'm not I'm chastising you. I'm just telling you, you got to help. Oh, you know, I mean, look at the way they started the game. Yeah, there's 5,000 people in the stands. What do you want? I mean, come on. Help them get fired up. Hey, you know, I mean, how do you feed off each other? The team, the fans, the atmosphere, you know, come see, come saw. Now, once you do your part and you show up before kickoff and you get loud before kickoff and you don't sell your tickets and you make it a home field, now they got to do their part. You did yours. Now they got to do theirs. And now we got to try and make something out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And not just, oh, that's kind of an interesting looking stadium. It hosts a lot of big events and it's cool. I want that to be a place that nobody wants to come play in the NFL. Yes, it's on the team. I understand that. I get it. I understand. We've got to have a better team. Okay, I think they've done that. I really do. But I think you can help. I think you can help. Because there's no doubt that players feed off the energy of the crowd. We know this. We've seen it a million times. How many times have you seen your team go on the road, and we'll use college football as an example, where you go on the road, because I've seen it, my team, your team, where you go on the road and you get into an environment and you let somebody that you're probably the better team then get into the game, and all of a sudden their fans are in the game, and you realize suddenly you're working up going, uh-oh, the other guys are feeding off the crowd. Oh, we're in a fist fight, aren't we? You're in the middle of the first quarter going, I didn't expect this. Yeah, that happens. Right? Yeah, okay. So feed off the crowd. I mean, let's take it to these sons of guns. Okay? Everybody do their part. You're in the stadium early, you know. I'm not chastising you in saying that you're at fault here. I'm saying that you're just not helping. I'm not saying you're wrong or bad. I'm just saying you're not. I just want you to realize you're not helping. That's all. And if you choose not to help, okay, that's fine. That's on you. I just want you to understand you're not helping. Brian Kelly lost last night in Las Vegas in a game that I thought he would lose because I had USC to win it. And when I picked USC, I had other people going, what are you talking about? I'm going, well, I mean, USC's a good team. They're very similar. Well, LSU's going to kill him. I went, I don't think so. You know, Oren was telling me, oh, LSU's going to kill him. I'm like, Oren, I don't think so. LSU is like the sixth best team, seventh best team in the SEC. USC is pretty good. Anyway, Brian Kelly was really mad about what happened last night. And we have the audio, and we're going to play it next on this Labor Day on Sports Radio 90 John the Game. Sports Radio 90 John the Game. I got in my feels a little bit today, which I didn't expect on a Labor Day with a caller named Ken. Again, I want to go back to this, and then we'll touch on college football here. I want everybody to focus in on the first 5 weeks. And the reason I want you to focus in on the first 5 weeks is this, is you have Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and that's followed up with the Tampa and Saints games, right? If you're 3-2 coming out of those first weeks, those first five games, Eric, which is better, 3-2? 1-2 against Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Kansas City, and 2-0 in the division for 3-2? Or is it better that you beat the Steelers, beat the Eagles, beat the Chiefs, 3-0, but lose those two division games?
Anybody who knows football knows you want to be up in your division. You want to be up right in your division, and those you want to win that conference game. I want that conference game, too.
Right. Right. The three games you want to win are Philadelphia, Tampa, and New Orleans. And so it's really a case where don't get too worked up here. This is why I kind of went off on the tangent about, look, we got to help the team out. We got to help these guys. If you're worried about, you know, Pittsburgh taking over the stadium, don't sell your tickets to them. You take over the stadium. You make that place loud. You sold out season tickets for the first time in 20 years, and you did so, you know, with a 95% retention rate, and you did so 2 months before the season began for a reason. You're excited about the team. Then don't just turn around and go, oh, yeah, I don't care about the opener. No, that's exactly okay. That's all. Last night in Las Vegas, there was a game between USC and LSU that was for most of the game kind of, but the last six, seven minutes of the game, oh, that was fun. That was some good football, back and forth. SC scored, LSU scored, SC came right back, scored, won the game. It was a game that featured Kyren Lacy, wide receiver, LSU, pulling out a fake gun with his finger and taking pew-pew shots at USC and getting flagged for it. For unsportsmanlike conduct, really well done there, Lacy. And he goes back to and his friend, what the hell did you do? He says, oh, I tried to, you know, shoot him with my finger there. You moron. What are you doing? Oh, my God. So there was that. And, of course, LSU blew it and botched it at the end of the game. And USC ends up winning. And after the game, Brian Kelly, who lost another opener, it's 3 years in a row, Florida State, and now this, where he's lost an opening game, and the LSU faithful not happy. He's not happy, and he addressed the media last night. We have a 30-second or so soundbite from Brian Kelly, the head coach at LSU, talking about this is kind of his immediate reaction to what happened after the game last night at Reliance Stadium.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things. About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach him better because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'll give Brian credit, Kelly credit for this. It is his fault. If you're standing there on the sidelines and your team thinks the game is over and you're not running through the tape and that's why you're losing these games, dude, that's on you. And they were ahead, and they let USC back into the game. They gave up two touchdowns in the last, 4 minutes of the game. USC never quit. USC kept coming at them. USC was making plays. Yeah, that's on you, Brian Kelly. All those LSU fans that made the trip out to Las Vegas, that was a long flight back to the Red Stick last night. That was some quiet planes. Yeah, that was not a good trip. And once again, LSU finds itself in a hole in a year where if you're going to make the playoff, and make no mistake, see, prior to the expansion of the playoff, right, you sort of got away with a game like this because there was really no expectation that you were going to make the playoff because it was only four teams, and people looked around and said, okay, we have to replace Jaden Daniels. We got to replace Malik Nabers. All right, this is going to be a year where we're not going to make the 14 playoff. But when you expand it to 12, and there's an opportunity to have as many as four SEC teams, not four teams, four SEC teams make the playoffs, well, that changes the equation a little bit, doesn't it? Because now you don't have to win the SEC. You could finish fourth, and you're going to be in the discussion to make it. The top three will certainly make it. And the fourth might. And so, yeah, that changes everything. Because now, 10-2 and not making the SEC championship game puts you in the discussion, okay? The way this is going to work, let's say that, let's just play this out. Georgia may go unbeaten. I know that we have a few of you dog fans who think that you are just that much better than everybody else, and you may be. I don't know. We'll have to kind of see. I think a little of what you saw Saturday against Clemson was Clemson just not really being very good. They were the 14th best team in the nation. I don't think so. I mean, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, you're watching that game going, can we beat Clemson? Yeah, we can beat Clemson. Okay, so let's put this into a little bit of perspective here. So I look at it because I think Clemson is like an 8-4 team. And that's where they are, you know. I don't see them necessarily rebounding. I think they're going to struggle in a lot of games that they play this year. But we'll see. I think Georgia's the best team in the nation, but I don't think they're so far and away the best team. I don't know that that's the case, okay? They're going to have a lot of really difficult games ahead. They got to play Tennessee. They've got to go on the road to play Ole Miss. They have to play at Alabama. They have to play at Texas. Oh, and by the way, they're going to have to play Alabama or Texas or Ole Miss again a second time. Oh, and by the way, they may have to play Alabama or Texas or Ole Miss or somebody like that three times. None of which will be in Athens. You may have to play them three times. You can play them in the regular season, play them in the SEC title game, and play them in the playoffs. That's, a heavy lift here. Okay, so, but I even having said that, I still think Georgia's the best team in the nation. Could they go 12-0? Sure. Do I think it's more likely they go 11-1? Yes. That's what I think. They have a stumble somewhere along the line just because it's so hard to get through this schedule unscathed. That's all. But that doesn't mean they wouldn't be the number one team at 11-1. They would. Doesn't mean they wouldn't be the, you know, favorites to win the SEC championship game. They would. Doesn't mean they wouldn't win that game at 12-1 and be the number one seed in the playoffs. They probably will be. So this whole thing about unbeaten, I think you're over worrying about it. But beyond that, if they're 11-1, let's just, for the sake of argument, this is why the LSU game was so important last night. If they're 11-1, because USC, that team that won that game last night, they're still an 8-4 club. Let's be clear here. They're an 8-4 team. I know a lot of USC fans are walking around with their chest pumped up and everything. USC's an 8-4 team. They may be 9-3. They're not making the playoff. They're just not that good. They're not that good, okay? So you lost a game where you probably could have won or probably should have won. And now you're looking at the lay of the land in the SEC going, okay, Georgia's going to make it into the title game. They're 11-1. And then there's going to be five teams that are 10-2. And because of all these tiebreakers, you got to be one of the five to hope you get the tiebreaker to get into the title game at 10-2. Because there's probably not going to be two 11-1 teams in the SEC. I would be surprised if there are two 11-1 teams in the SEC. Really surprised. So there's going to be a whole bunch of teams, 4 to 5, that are at 10-2. That teams like Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Tennessee. Let's say those are the five, and they're all 10-2. Because they just round robin, they kind of beat each other up, right, over the course of the year. So let's say there's five teams at 10-2, and then they've got to go through all the tiebreakers to determine who's going to play Georgia in the championship game, and it's probably going to be the team that beats Georgia head-to-head. Hey, they beat Georgia. Texas beat Georgia in the regular season. Therefore, the 10-2 Texas team is in the championship game. Okay, all right, we'll just say that. Now you're down to four teams. You got to be part of that. If you're not 10-2, you're not in the mix. And if you're not 10-2, you are not in the discussion to make the playoffs. You have to be at least 10-2. Now, with that loss last night, what are the odds that LSU is going to go 10-1 rest of the year? Yeah, I didn't think so either. That's why Brian Kelly was pounding the table. Because he goes, yeah, 9-3 is not going to cut it, is it? Nope. No, it's not. They're literally going to have to go unbeaten the rest of the season to make the SEC title game. It's just math. And I don't know that I see that happening. I don't know. Maybe he catches fire. Maybe they do. I think that's a tall order. And that's on Brian Kelly. And now that's why LSU fans, not only is it disappointing because you spent all that money, because you know there are dudes at LSU, they spent literally 10 grand to go to that game. Plane flights, hotels, going out to the nice restaurants, gambling. Whoever knows, you know, some dude on the street handing out, you know, pieces of paper, you know, hey, you know, whoever else knows whatever extracurricular activities they were doing. They literally spent 10 grand. Tickets, everything for that. Now they're back in, hungover, strung out, going, what's ahead? So, Brian Kelly is not, they're not going to be happy. Now, they're not firing him. They're not firing Dabo at Clemson. His buyout is $60 million. Billy Napier. You know, there's fans at Texas A&M who are all over the boards right now screaming about Mike Elko, saying, what the hell was that? Jimbo Fisher could have won that game. Oh, yeah, they're saying that. It's like, why do we change coaches? New dude, same as the old dude? We paid Jimbo Fisher $75 million to go sit on the beach. Jimbo's sitting out there going, Jimbo Fisher and Dan Mullen are sitting on beaches with millions of dollars laughing right now at Billy Napier and Mike Elko. Top of the hour. We had a chance earlier today to talk to my court and crime, Harper LaBelle, about the Atlanta Falcons. Get you ready for the opening game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to bring back some of that interview for you here in just a moment. Let you hear what he thinks about the Falcons and what he thinks about the NFL. We'll do that next. On this Labor Day on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.